What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. Big O and Jesso are in the house. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves tonight. We've got a great show lined up for you. Big O, how are you doing, man? How was your week?
Pretty good. Grizzly Adam had a beard. Yes. So if anyone asks why I'm growing it out, it's because I'm going on a 2-week vacation from my actual work. And so I'm letting it grow out for a bit.
Hell yeah. Nice. Vacation's always good. Good times.
Yes, sir.
Are you guys going to get up to anything or anything, any big plans for your,
In this COVID state, not doing shit. Joe Biden hasn't given me my $1,400. So I'm piss poor until then, just like everybody else. So you know what? It's going to be a staycation. It's going to be a lot of Call of Duty, Civil War, and it's going to be a lot of hanging out with my wang out.
Hell yeah, dude. And you know what? Just the fact that you don't got to go to work for a few days, that's always okay, you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's a godsend.
You know, especially when, you know, you get into those, like, you know, project work like you do and like I used to do. It's just, you hope for a break. It's just like, enough of this shit.
Yeah. So we just got off of work today, you know, wrapping up. And we're like, why isn't these things communicating? And then we started looking at the wire bundles and, well, A is to C, B is to A is to G, F, K, L, M, N, O, P are on W. Like, what the fuck were they doing?
Oh, man. Sounds like bad times at work. Good thing you get time off coming.
Yep.
So tonight, we've been doing these spotlight comedians, and we told you we were going to have some Hall of Famers, some very big heavy hitters, and tonight is no exception. This guy is, without a doubt, hands down, a legend in comedy. The 5-second delay on most network television is because of this guy. So tonight's episode is dedicated to the comedy of Richard Pryor. it's a trip, dude. Like, he started out like Bill Cosby style, where he was clean. It was like more slapsticky, but not anything close to what everybody knows of him like today, like, or his last body of work.
So, and, like, you know, he's come out in his own, at his own time, in his own way, and the way he was raised, god damn it, he even says it, raised in a whorehouse. I mean, god damn, why wouldn't you go to that in the first place, man?
He was a brothel sprout.
God damn. And you know what, and a lot of people don't know this, but he helped raise 3 black kids with a white father. So, I mean, it was wonderful, the things that he did. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a documentary. It's a wonderful documentary. It's called Me, Myself, Irene, and you'll love it.
I thought for a second, I thought you were going to say that icon, because there is a documentary on Pryor, I guess on Netflix or Amazon, but it's called Richard Pryor Icon. And so it's a bunch of different famous comedians like talking about him and his life and stuff. And so, like, but the whorehouse thing comes up. Like, his grandmother owned it and ran it. His mom was a fucking prostitute there. And so, like, all these, like, and all the people that he encountered, that he saw, were the people that made appearances in his stand-up material. And that was some crazy shit.
Yeah, but when have you known me, as long as you have, to bring something serious up? Of course I'm going to go for the good one.
That was a good one to get it all nice and warmed up.
Richard Pryor was a shit. He bred lots of comedians after him, and the styles that went in the 80s and 90s were just compounded by his brilliance. Everybody looks to him to lead the way, and you know what? Rightfully so. You know, his passing was a sad day, and I'm glad he was here.
Yeah, me too, man. He influenced a lot of comedians, like you said. Like, if you listen to Eddie Murphy, like the voice changes that he does when he, like, makes his voice go low, and like just the tone he takes, or the way he, like, delivers the punchline, is it sounds a lot like Pryor. There was the one right before Bicentennial Nigga. I think it was, is it Something I Said? But in there, I was listening and just knowing that he influenced a bunch of people, like, there were, like, a few jokes that I heard that, like, some of these guys, like, you know, Eddie Murphy or, like, Chris Rock, mm-hmm. Tracy Morgan, kind of alluded to, or, like, I don't want to say they retold his joke, but it was like a similar premise and a very similar delivery. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. But I'm not going to say that like they ripped him off or anything.
No. It spurned their ideas of the same concept in a different way that they viewed it. And it was really good. And then you got people like Paul Mooney, who was writing with him at the time. And these guys collaborated together and they came up with ideas that were, you know, were controversial. But between them, it was just regular banters, regular talk, you know. And it was just, you know, it spurned so much in a generation that lots of people don't give him credit for. But, man, that guy was a shit.
Yeah. And then remember when we talked about the transition a few episodes ago, if the transition from the stand up stage to the big screen, you know, TV and movie.
Right.
And a lot of comics, you know, had made the transition. I think his was the smoothest because a lot of the stuff that was in his stand up material, like he was the same person. You know what I mean? Like he. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like drastically different in the movies than he was on stage. And I think that was one of the things that I thought was the coolest about him is that he was able to make that jump just so effortlessly.
Yeah. You look at him in Brewster's Millions and he's nothing like his stand-up comedy where he's shit this, fuck that, pussy this and whores that, you know, he made that transition. He made it well, and he got to a whole new set of viewers. Now, for me, I saw him do stand-up. I heard every goddamn dirty word that came out of that motherfucker's mouth. And to watch him on Brewster's Millions, that movie, it's just like, I still loved it. I didn't care that he didn't curse because he was great in it. He just, he melted into the format, and he delivered 100%.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even in... even in stuff like The Toy, because he had a couple of transitions, like turning points, right? Like was the turning point where he walked off stage during a set in Las Vegas and, you know, pissed off all the fucking the mob bosses that own those casinos because it got to the point where his slapstick, it kind of like slapstick style and like clean, like humor. He got to feeling more like a clown than a comedian. And so it's like, I want to like to the point where I want to be funny, but I also kind of want to keep my self-respect, you know? And then, so then that's when he bailed up to Berkeley and like fucking hung out with the Black Panthers and, you know, did all the dolls fucking drugs. And then he came back. And then that's when like it was like fucking Bob Saget's fucking like Danny Tanner versus Bob Saget, the fucking dirty comic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was day and night.
And for him to tell that joke on stage was so fucking funny. Look at this black guy. Yeah, I love this guy, Richard. He's so funny. Say it again. Say it again. Johnny did it. Say it again. I'm not a clown, man. I don't want to tell you to say comment. this guy. Oh, shit.
Yeah, man, and the stuff that he talked about in his routine, stuff from his life. I mean, that, you know, I know there's different ways to like deal with, you know, stressful shit that you went through, and I think that was genius the way he was able to do his, like it created all those fucking characters, and you know, like once he came out as the, you know, like the, you know, this version 2.0, I guess. He wasn't trying to be clean. He wasn't trying to, like, you know, be like that good that clean comic anymore. And now it was like, okay, like there's shit going on in the world. There's stuff that I've been through, and you know, it's kind of funny that his comedy, those jokes are still applicable today. You know what I mean? Because it was in the 60s. And if you think about it, like the kind of shit that was going on then, the 60s and the 70s is, it's fucking in a new version going on now. And so, like, in, like, the prep for the show, like, I'm listening to albums of his that I hadn't heard in years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like when he said that the police in the white neighborhoods, like, the white neighbors know the police by, how's the officer Tom? And it's like, you going to be coming over for dinner tonight? Like, he's like, you go to the black neighborhoods, that motherfucker don't know me.
And then, you know, we could bring in so many ideas that he's transformed from that into what we saw growing up in the 90s and when he was in his prime. I mean, you just look at shit like Bernie Mac playing that cop, and he's talking to the black kid saying, "Oh, I could smell you. Oh, you're so dark. Your bear is so dark. Oh, God, I hate you. Oh, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker." You know, when he's doing that, he's doing... Well, you know, the concept of Richard Pryor talking about, you know, black cops on black kids, you know, beating them up in the time that he was growing up. And you could see this. And, you know, Bernie Mac went through that, too. And it's freaking awesome. And let's not forget, Richard Pryor has so much in his arsenal. He went 3 movies with Gene Wilder, maybe more. I think it was 3 movies.
They were fucking awesome. I died laughing at all of them.
He was in The Silver Bullet. He was in... Stir Crazy. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? Back in the 90s, they did Hear No Evil, See No Evil. And that shit was the funniest goddamn movie I ever saw.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the stupid shit this guy did as an adult that, you know, was in a wheelchair almost at that time. He was just, you know, mind-boggling how he can, you know, come to these riffs and do the jokes that he was doing and just be so, you know, wonderful on screen.
Right? Shit like getting Gene Wilder in blackface, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
God.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just, like, pioneering shit. Like, again, yeah. Like, the guy was so popular that when SNL came out, like, Lorne Michaels, like, had to have him. Like, he had to be on the inaugural episode, but... Mm-hmm. You know, NBC freaked out. They were like, nah, he's unpredictable. You can't, like, we can't trust that he's going to stick to the game plan. And, you know, he's, like, really off the cuff. And then, you know, it wasn't anything that wasn't known about his, like, drinking, the drug use, right. The fucking fighting. And so all that played into it, too. But they, you know, they came up with the 5-second rule. So they put it in place, and now on broadcast TV, anything you watch, now there's a 5-second delay. But before, you know, they wanted prior on SNL, that wasn't the case. Like, you didn't have that. And so, you know, I think that's as hall, like, the Mount Rushmore of comedy, that's like Pryor's face 4 times, right? Just for that.
Yeah, and so when you go to that thought, picture this: a man on his game, you know, funny as shit, got albums out there. You know, he's not poor, he's rich, he's got his thing, he's doing his thing, and they're saying that he can't do Saturday Night Live. So what do? They get a younger comic that's not well known, and he goes out and he does almost what Richard Pryor would do. You know, it's on the teetering edge. Eddie Murphy's out there going, "I'm Gumby, damn it." You know, he's a black Gumby that's, you know, racially motivated, and so that's okay, but Richard Pryor's not? That makes no fucking sense. And that's the problem that we go through with these comics and with these great people that make you laugh. They break these barriers. They bring out the stuff that makes us uneasy and make a joke about it. And then the white people or people in power in general that are afraid for their jobs and the money that they bring in for the revenue just don't back these type of people. And that's the problem. And that's what I like about this show. We talk about everything. It's all on the table. Hey, what are they going to do? Fire us? No.
Exactly. Good luck, honey. I don't even work here.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it was an office and grabbed this chick's ass. She's like, I'm going to tell HR. Good luck, honey. I don't even work here. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, the stuff like, you know, like the pioneering, like the making fun of white people. That was, you know, the something that Chappelle, you know, turned into a skit that's very well known. And, you know, it's just, again, at a time where I think you could get away with stuff like that still. And there's a lot of things that, like, used to be okay. Now they're not okay. and everybody's just getting really sensitive. But I'll save that for later, because that's coming up tonight for sure. You know, like, you know, having a, you know, talking about a pioneer, that's definitely got to come up. But one of the things that comes up in Pryor's comedy, and this is, he talks about it on I think the Live on Sunset album, is when he was freebasing, and like, I don't know if you remember back in the, like, was it the late 80s or the mid 80s, like when he fucking blew himself up.
it was like mid 80s, a little bit later than like 86 or 87 or something. I have to look that up.
Yeah, so he was like, so he's talking about it, and one of the funniest fucking bits about the whole shit, when he was like, and I was looking at my hand, and he was like, damn, that is an awesome color blue. He's all, oh fuck, I'm on fire. And then he's like fucking starts shaking his hand out, and you know, like realizing, like, I just fucking blew up. And so, you know, it did a lot of damage to him. And I think it was just a little while after that, like, he like went to Africa and then came back and then kind of cleaned it up a little bit.
So tell Fuck Checker that I'm sorry, but I looked it up. It's 1980. So I went over my head without going to the right protocol, but it was early 80s. So,
all right. Well, I'll have to let her know. But we are going to get into a commercial and be right back.
Hey, y'all. This is Jeff Speakman's Kempo 5.0 Karate in Whittier. We specialize in fitness kickboxing, yoga classes, as well as martial arts classes. If you're looking for something to do for yourself, get yourself in shape, give yourself something awesome to commit to, or you're looking for something for your kids to give them good discipline, good focus, and something really exciting to do, come on by anytime.
All right, guys, we're back. And so those are the commercials that we told you that we're doing for small businesses. So if you guys are out there and you're listening, go ahead and send us something just like that. We'll get it put up on the air. You know, like, we know that we're doing what we can for, you know, to support the small businesses, the local businesses, you know, in our immediate areas, and not just our immediate areas, but really, like, you know, throughout the country. Times are hard right now, and this is what we can do. So again, go ahead, send them in. It's riceandbeescast@gmail.com for the bigger files, or just touch base with us. You know, it's Big O at Rice and Beans Cast, Jester at Rice and Beans Cast. We check our emails frequently, so go ahead and get at us and let us know.
And just remember, ladies out there, you know, we're doing everything we can for everybody, the dudes and also the ladies. So, I mean, boob shots, we'll take those too. You know, we'll market them. We'll share around. So
be on the lookout for our OnlyFans account coming out pretty soon.
Balls, you said.
So, yeah, man, getting into that thing about the, you know, burning himself and the drugs, and, you know, he didn't shy away from the fact that, you know, he did them, and, you know, it wasn't like a secret or anything.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, dude, like the way he talks about, you know, when he was on them and the effects, and, you know, definitely getting blown the fuck up.
You know, he looked death straight in the face, and he shared with everybody else, and that was his comedy, you know, his life. And that's what good comedians do. They give you their life.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, you know, it got us to thinking, you know, about the things that we kind of funny experiences having to do with drugs. And like, I don't know why this is the first one that pops to mind, but this is, I'm in like probably 22, 23, and you know, everybody's got their own apartment, and it's cool. Like, one of our friends lives, you know, way out in Riverside. It's, you know, from, if you're not from California, it takes about 45 minutes to get there. I don't know how many miles it is. That's how they tell distance in California, is by time. So this is some strange shit, but I live here, so I'm used to it. And so we're out there, and, you know, everybody takes turns, you know, weekends hosting. So, you know, not the same person has to clean up all the bullshit every fucking time, you know, and they get a chance to air out the fucking puke stains off the carpet. And so we're over there, and for whatever reason, this time people had pills, and I think it was like to make a Vegas cocktail, you know, some like a screwdriver with the, like Vicodin and Valium and like Darvocet Chaser or some shit like that. You know, it's like a handful of pills and some fucking and some alcohol. Nobody brought weed. Fucking some of the biggest stoners on the fucking planet. Nobody thought to bring like fucking weed. I was off the hook because I brought the alcohol and a couple of pills. So like, I'm like, who dropped the ball here? And so we ended up after everything was kicking in. And you know that feeling because you just like kind of sink in your chair and you're like, oh shit, here it comes. Yeah. And then you're feeling like I was feeling like I was in that fucking Super Mario Brothers episode, the first video game, the second level where you're like swimming with those fucking fish. Like, and so me and one of my friends go out to go. We thought we were going to go get a 20 sack. And we are high as shit, and we severely underestimated the distance to like the fucking closest store, because we're walking and it's winter and it's like out, it's mostly like desertish where she lives, so during the winter it's cold as fuck, so it's like 40 degrees and we're fucking walking because we're way too fucked up to drive. So we're walking down the street. I couldn't feel my feet touching. I felt like I was just floating. Like I was like, just like fucking cloud shoes. And I'm like fucking those, like those Kanye joints. And I'm just like coasting. And so I'm not getting tired because I can't even feel my fucking legs. So we're walking and I pull out of like a 20 spot out of the ATM. And, these fucking, we're just kind of like standing around like a gas station corner and like, you know, just hanging out, having a smoke, looking around. And like this dude comes up, he's like, are you holding? Are you looking to pick up? I'm like, 20 sack. He's like, yeah, all right, come with me. Like fucking, I don't want to, just around the corner. I don't want to do it here at the gas station. All right. And so we're like, cool. And I'm like, he's all, you motherfuckers high? I'm like, maybe. I'm like, are you a cop? And he was like, I just asked you if you wanted drugs. I'm pretty sure I'm not a fucking cop. I'm like, okay. And he's like, all right, well, fucking here, give me the 20 and I'll be right back. I'll get the fucking sack. I'm just upstairs. I'm like, all right, cool. So he goes in the gate and me and fucking my homeboy are like just still standing there, like fucking high as fuck, totally clueless. We're there for like 10 minutes. Like smoking a cigarette, and then fucking he brought a flask, so we're drinking more and like fucking bullshitting, like two goddamn winos out there on the fucking curb. And then it's like 10 minutes went by and I'm all, fuck dude, what time is it? And we looks and he's like, oh man, I'm like, how long ago did that guy leave? He's like 10, 15 minutes ago. I'm all, he said he was just upstairs though, right? He's all, yeah. And it got quiet for a second. And then we both start fucking laughing. I was like, fuck. I'm like, you want to just go back to her house? And she's like, yeah, let's go. And like, we didn't even say it, but we're like, oh, we just got jacked for 20 bucks. And I was like, fuck. And so we show up at the fucking pad and everybody is like fucking welcoming us like fucking hero of the day, about to fucking put a motherfucker up on their shoulders. And I'm like, yo, before you get too happy, I'm like, we don't have any weed and now I'm out 20 bucks. And they're like, what the fuck? And so we told them and they're like, wow.
We got the stupidest stoners in the house.
They're like, dude, the one person was like, dude, I told you guys not to go. Like fucking that's what you get for being greedy. They're like, you had all these fucking pills and alcohol and you fucking still had to have fucking weed. I'm like, that's the universe. He goes, that's the universe paying you back for being greedy.
So you're telling a story and the first thing that pops into my head is hearing the Californians. Yeah, so we go up on the 605, go across the 60, jump the 15, and then we're on the 705 in Riverside. Because you don't know any of the surface streets. You go 45 minutes.
And it's weird though, because when I go like place, you know, I travel for business a lot, and so I'm going to the East Coast, I'm going to the Midwest, mm-hmm. you know, everywhere. And everybody else like fucking travels by distance, like by mileage. That's it's 30 miles to this, it's 20 miles to this, it's 15 miles to this.
Right.
But I think so far that I'm aware of or that I've been around, California is the only place that I know of that like you tell how far away something is by time, especially in LA because of traffic. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you're going to go from LA to Santa Monica in the morning at 9 a.m. Like right. That's a 2-hour drive. So I'm not going to say it's 20 minutes or 20 miles because it is, but yeah, it's 2 hours because, you know, like you're only going to be doing like 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, so I spent most of my life in California growing up, and out here in Arizona, I use the time and also the mileage. So, you know, I give both preferences because now our rush hour traffic is bombarded by all you Californians coming over. No offense, but you're fucking up our housing market, so get the fuck out, but you're welcome. Come on. But yeah, you know, I know the game plan. I know why you're saying that. And a lot of people in LA know this as well. It's starting to get like that in some of the bigger, cities throughout the US, you know, the rush hour traffic is starting to define the time rather than the mileage. So it's getting out there a little bit more. So, yeah, on that note, when I was in high school, I was playing football. And I decided to experiment. Well, you know what? I could not experiment because my parents were always just smoking weed. My mom kind of stopped, and my dad was still doing it. So I would always go into his hooch pouch and get some extra if I needed it. But I have a couple good funnies on that. And yeah, people call me pussy because I don't do cocaine or heroin. But hey, you know what? This is just what I did when I was a kid. And I decided I didn't want to do it anymore.
It ain't all that.
I went to one of my friends and he had a trailer and we were just kicking back out there and he got his hands on some good skank weed, man. It was some nasty shit, but it got us fucked up all night long. We're looking at porn mags, laughing our asses off at big titties. Why does that make you funny? I don't know. But when you're high, everything's funny. So we're looking at, we're looking at beavers. We're looking at double D's and we're laughing our asses off. It got to a point where there was so much billowed smoke in this trailer that if you stood up in it, it was like fog up there. It was thick like carpet. It was thick like a hairy snatch. God, man. So at night, you know, it was cold and we had to open up the slats of the windows of this trailer so we could breathe. So I'd be asleep for like 15 minutes and I would get up and I'd stick my mouth out of the slats because I was too scared to walk out the front. And I'd go, you know, like I'm taking a hit, right? You know, but I'm getting fresh air and then I pass out and go to sleep. And I didn't realize what I was doing until I woke up. Okay. So we were smoking until about midnight. And we passed out and slept until about 9 in the morning. When I woke up, I realized that the cloud was so low, that the smoke of the weed was so low that when I was sticking my mouth out, it was right at that lower level of the weed. So I was getting high again. All night long, I was doing this goddamn shit. So now I'm on a bike, a 10-speed bike, 6 miles away from the house in fucking Orange Grove country. Right. With no bicycle lane, riding down this, what we call a freeway, but it's just basically a 2-lane roadway where people go 80 miles an hour all the time. High as a motherfucker. Red crystallized, not from crystal meth, just crystallized eyes. I walk in the door looking like my dog who used to run out at night to go get a nightlife. Right. Fucking look horrible, and I know I smelled like fucking skunk weed. My dad goes, "You have a good night?" I go, "Yeah, I'm going to bed."
I sure did. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, no, it's that's funny. Like I'm in my early 20s, and I got my own apartment. You know, I'm a musician. I'm in a band and, you know, I've been a musician for a while and, you know, the whole family knows. And at this point, the whole family pretty much knows or just assumes that I smoke weed because I'm a musician. And so maybe a couple of other things, but mostly because of the musician thing. And so my pops came over one morning, like unannounced, to my apartment. My uncle, who my parents were actually there to visit, lived in the front apartment, you know, like in the front of the building, mm-hmm. way in the back. So, you know, everybody in the apartment building, with the exception of my uncle and this one old man that lives there, smoke weed. So mm-hmm. nobody cared. Like, everybody just blazed freely. And like the two people that did it, like, my uncle used to party back in the day. So like, he doesn't do it anymore, but he doesn't care if other people do it. And then like, the old man's windows were always closed, so he didn't give a fuck either. So we, you know, everybody would just smoke. So we're there like with the band Friday night. And so we're recording, we're smoking. And, you know, I'm sure my apartment smells like the inside of a fucking bong. And so somebody was like, yo, can I do a wake and bake? And I was like fucking half asleep. And so I just was like, from the other room, I'm like, yeah, go for it. I don't give a fuck. Just fucking, sometimes the landlords come on Saturday, so just close the fucking window or do it in the bathroom. I don't care. So they close the window, fucking toke up in my front room. And then like a fucking 9:45, 10 o'clock, fucking hear a knock at the door. I'm like, oh, shit, fuck is this? Knocking on my goddamn door at fucking 9:30 in the morning. The fuck? Like, go to the door, go to the peephole, fucking throw it open. And it's my pops. And I'm like, ah, and I fucking slammed the peephole closed. And so, and it wasn't like subtle either. It was like fucking, like loud, like there was fucking so much smoke in the apartment. It was fucking going out the peephole. Like, so this, it's like, he already knew, like, there was like fucking no getting around it. So I opened the door and I'm like talking to him on the porch, and like the, you know, like the door's cracked and shit. And I thought he came to pick up the vacuum that I borrowed. So I like opened the door again and fucking more smoke came out. And I'm like trying to hand him the vacuum. He's like, no, I'll pick it up later. We're going to go to breakfast with your uncle. All right. And so then I close the door and the guitar player is out there and from the house band, and he's trying to help me like fucking keep him distracted out there. So like fucking no more smoke comes out, but the fool leaves the door open. And so like the door is facing this way. The wind is and sun are both coming from the opposite direction. And so you just see smoke billowing out the fucking door, like kind of in the direction where my dad's standing, like this huge fucking cloud just going and going and going. I'm like, God damn it. And then he finally realizes it, so that he reaches behind him and he fucking shuts the door. But by then the whole apartment was fucking aired out. And so later on, my aunt and my uncle call me and they're like, your dad was fucking tripping. I'm like, why? I'm like, never mind. I'm like, I know why. And I'm like, why is he tripping? He smokes. And he's like, they're all, I guess apparently he didn't know that you smoked and he told us. And so she's like, your uncle was a dick about it. He goes, wait, you mean there were four musicians in a fucking single bedroom apartment and they were smoking weed? What? Get the fuck out of here. Like, mind blown. And my dad's like, yeah, ha ha ha, whatever. But they said just his fucking surprise that like that we were fucking smoking weed on a Saturday morning and it was like a fucking group of musicians sleeping one off, like.
All right, so do you consider drinking a drug? Because if you do, I got a great story. If not, then we'll go to the other story.
Me personally, no, but as I'm told, it kind of is. So I guess, okay. I would say it counts.
All right. So this is the best story I got. I'm going to school out here in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and technical associate's degree in computer electronics. This is the bright one right here, right? So I've been working at McDonald's. I'm working for like $6.50 an hour. I'm not barely pulling anything in, and I'm expected to take care of my bills, my rent, and my brother's rent, because he didn't want to get a fucking job. So kudos on me, right? No. I had a weekend. I had extra money. I wanted to get fucked up. I was 18 years old. So I had some friends, you know, I made some good friends really fast, and they got me some beer and shit. And I got Southern Comfort. I wanted to drink something nice, and I liked the way Southern Comfort tasted at the time. You'll understand why I said at the time. I get into this 30-pack, right? And I'm about 15 strong into the wind, and I start drinking the Southern Comfort as I pass out. Well, it's a pint, so I get down to the bottleneck, and then I get down to the shoulders, and then I blacked out. So the apartment complex I was at, we were renting there, had white carpet. Why the fuck does it have white carpet? I don't know. But we tried our best to keep it clean. It wasn't vanilla. It wasn't tan. It was goddamn white. Anyway, so we had some girls come over, and they were smoking and putting their ashtrays in some cups with water, you know, so it wouldn't spill, because I didn't have ashtrays. And they're putting in cans and shit. And I had this table, and it's all out there, and I'm passed out. I'm fucking drunk as shit. I get up and go, I said something like, fuck the world, fuck everybody, this is my house, I'm getting drunk, it's my birthday, fuck everyone, clear the table off. All the beer, all the booze, all the ashtrays on the white floor.
Oh.
All right, so that's the start of the night.
Holy shit.
And I'll start the rest after this.
Hello everyone, this is a Smoky Smoke Shop here in Beverly on Norwalk. We would like to invite you guys to come over, check us out. We have fine cigars, tobacco products, all the vape juice, high brands of detox and glass pipes. We have the best price in town. You know, our phone number right here is 562-695-5200. It's Beverly on Norwalk, City of Whittier. We'll wait for you guys.
So in any case, I was down after the shoulders, and I had blacked out at that point. Now I'm going for my second wind. Meanwhile, I told no one to touch a Southern Comfort. I had Jim Beam there, and I had a whole bunch of other stuff that anyone could have, anything else. You can have beer. Don't touch a Southern Comfort. That's mine. So mind you, shoulders on a pint, right? Next thing I know, I'm guzzling this thing like it's water, and I maybe have one swig left on the very bottom of this pint. I drank all that Southern Comfort in one shot. I was like, good, good, and I was out of it again, man. I was gone. Three sheets to the wind. Next thing I know, I have to piss. So these girls that were there, you know, of course I'm not getting laid. They didn't want no fucking drunk fucking Mexican, you know? So, and they didn't even show any insight to me. They didn't care about me. So I knew I was going to get laid. I was just going to drink. Fuck everybody else. I had to piss. I had one of my friends hold my shoulders. I'm taking this leak. It was a phenomenal leak, let me tell you. Gesture, I was pissing like a fucking racehorse, man. Midstream going in, sounding like a fucking pipe that just burst. Next thing I know, he's talking to this girl, one of the hot girls that was there, right? And he's trying to get his game on. And this girl is stuck up. So, hey, you know, he's trying. I didn't try to get in his way. He turned his head and let me go. He goes, you okay? I'm like, I think I'm okay. And I'm going like a racehorse. And he turns to talk to the girl. And next thing I know, the earth started tilting. So now I'm straight up and I'm starting to lean. As I'm going leaning, I'm going into the tub. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. He looks at me and I don't stop pissing. I'm still going. So I'm doing a rainbow as I'm going head first into the tub. I'm pissing all over the bathtub in the wall, my head in the tub. And I'm like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I can't stop. I finished what I needed to finish up. I told everybody, don't worry about cleaning in the morning, you know, and some shit like that. Then I passed out on the floor with my pants around my butt. You know, I covered my junk at least. Next thing I know, I wake up and one of the guys is zipping up his pants. They put mayonnaise on my lips going, thanks, dude. Oh, dude. I'm half out of it going, oh, fuck you guys. That's mayonnaise. And I pass out again. I wake up 10 minutes later, clear the table once again. So now all the ashtray and drinks are on the floor again. And then I had another beer and then I passed out and I was gone. That was it. I was done for the night. I woke up and I looked at that floor. I go, God damn, what did I do last night? It was a fucked up morning, I'll tell you what. And you want the best news? I went into work.
Fuck yeah. I remember those days when I could fucking do that, fucking party all night and fucking drink and puke and like fucking get be annihilated and then fucking be up at 4 a.m. like fucking bright eyed and bushy tailed. Like, I try to do that shit now and I'm like, I just fucking laugh when the alarm goes off. I'm like, nah. Guess who's taking a sick day today?
Another funny one was when I went to California to move a glass shop. We're talking about 1,000-pound windows. We get there Friday night. Everyone tells us to go to sleep, you know, early because we're waking up at 5 in the morning. We drink a 12-pack and smoke a couple fucking joints and got high drunk and then woke up at 5 in the morning sweating a booze all day lifting 1,000-pound windows.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going to work hungover. I worked cooking in a Hawaiian restaurant, and Spam is like the fucking Hawaiian filet mignon. And so I'm hungover as shit. And you know how smells get. Yeah, exactly. When you're fucking hungover, even if they're like smells that don't bother you normally. So like I've got this like fucking huge grill. And like for the morning order, like people like Spam masubi rolls for whatever fucking reason, or they want their Spam and eggs. And so I got this huge fucking grill of fucking Spam cooking at like fucking 8 in the morning. Like I got home at like 4:30. So I'm fucking, I'm hurting to say the least. I'm hurting.
Spam, 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 and spam.
Yeah, and so they're like, yo, you're on spam duty today. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? I'm like, well, how did I get demoted? They're like, because so-and-so called in sick, and we've been here longer than you, so fucking man the grill. I was like walking away all fucking pissed. Motherfucker. So there I am, fucking cooking the spam, trying not to smell it, fucking turning the vent on high, like still fucking flipping shit. And I'm like, all of a sudden, you know, the stomach starts talking to me, turning, growling at me and shit. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, I know that feeling, and that sounded good. That sounds not good. Never, never. You're hungover, and you start to hear that fucking, you're in fucking trouble. You better find close the trash can, bathroom, sink, some shit. And sure enough, I'm like, oh, fuck. And I was like, I choked him back down. Like, I fucking covered my mouth and like fucking like ran past the dude, jabbed him in the fucking sternum with a fucking spatula, and then just fucking hauled ass to the bathroom. And I made it. But somebody came. I was in there for a minute, though. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was throwing up a lot. And so somebody came in. And I was fucking puking, and then I finished, and I go back out. Nobody's in the restroom, and you know, you got to make that fucking throw up walk of shame, and everybody heard you fucking like throwing up a boot and shit, like you're fucking throwing up shit you ate in high school, and you gotta everybody like fucking just looking at you like God damn, and you just stare at the floor. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
It was a spam. I'll have the eggs, please.
I went back. The dude fucking hands me the fucking spatula back. Fucking bastard. Didn't even care. I'm sure word spread. Like, fucking, there was only, like, fucking six people there. And, like, you know what I mean? They talk. So he hands me the spatula back. And I got, like, 5 feet towards the grill. And I'm all, And the guy just fucking takes his spatula back and he's like, the trash can, Dick, the trash can, just take it outside. And so I fucking pick up the trash can and I run outside and I'm like fucking heaving in the trash can. At least I'm outside behind the restaurant. I'm sure the people in the fucking apartments, you know, next door to the restaurant really didn't like it, but I didn't care. I mean, that shit was echoing. It was bouncing off the restaurant and their fucking walls, and it was just like this fucking, like all the fucking way down, like the fucking, like you hear it echo dissipated in the Grand Canyon, but of puke, if you can fucking picture that. And so that's what we have going on in a fucking Sunday morning.
And then the bum comes out from the trash can. Hey, do you, I puke at your house?
Right. He's like, I live here, motherfucker. It'll take us somewhere else.
That's a great story.
Yeah, no, it was fucking, they sent me home early. They're like, we're not paying you. I'm like, I could stay. They're like, nah, really, you can't. Go the fuck home. We don't want you puking on anything else. I'm like, I made it to the bathroom. I made it out here. I'm like, judging by the amount of puke in the bucket, I'm pretty sure I'm all done. They're like, yeah, well, we're not really willing to chance it, so let's just go ahead and send you home.
you got any spam you want to throw out?
But yeah, I think, yeah, no shit, right? I was like, thinking like, fucking, there's no way you could do some shit like that at work nowadays and like fucking still keep the job. And it makes me think of fucking like movies that came back in the day, like our comedy, you know, that came back in the day that people are apologizing for now, and stuff like Richard Pryor, the movie that he was in with Jackie Gleason called The Toy. The premise for the movie, if you haven't seen it, is Jackie Gleason, obviously is white. If you don't know him, look up The Honeymooners. He's to the moon, Norton. And he's a billionaire oil tycoon or some shit like that in the movie. And his son, he gets him 1 week a year, and he just gives the kid whatever he wants, so he doesn't deal with them. And so they're in the toy store, and he sees Richard Pryor, and Richard Pryor made him laugh. And so he was like, that's what I want. He said, I could have anything I want. That's what I want. And so basically this guy hires Richard Pryor to be a toy, like, for this kid for a week. For like, at first it starts off at like $2,000, but in the end he ends up getting $10,000. But shit like that, there's absolutely no fucking way that movie, if it got remade, would fly today. People would lose their fucking minds.
Oh yeah, it's just crazy some of the shit that you would see. I mean, that movie was hilarious, and if you haven't seen it, well, fuck you, fuck your dog, go see it, you'll love it. Greatest fucking movie I ever saw. Just how stupid it is, very unapologetic, and just, you know, great lines and great stuff. But you know, actors and actresses anymore nowadays doing any kind of movies that are on the cuff without any artistic value, so to speak, from Karens and Kens out there that take offense to every goddamn thing, they would lose their careers. I mean, whatever happened to somebody doing something funny for the sheer sake of being funny and not having to lose their job or apologize over it? I mean, you look at the movie The Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. Oh my God, I die laughing every time I see it. But look at what Tom Hanks has gone on to done. Hell, he's Mr. Rogers, right? In the recent documentary movie.
Right.
So, I mean, how can he do Bachelor Party ever again? How could anybody do that? That's, I mean, a fucking donkey snorting coke off a fucking table, eating chips, and then fucking, you know, having a dirty dance around him. You can't do that anymore. It's funny as shit, but you can't do that. Why the hell are we so, you know, closed up as people like this? I mean, Europeans and everybody else, they don't give a fuck. And yet, here we are thinking we're closer to God for giving a fuck. No, this is funny. Let's have a good joke.
Exactly, dude. And it's like, and that's one of the things that I like most about Pryor, other than like he was hands down fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
He was unapologetic. And now in a time and place where people are so quick to apologize for jokes or have to preface a joke with, now this is just a joke. It was like, it reminds me of like, how do most black jokes start? And, you know, kind of look over your shoulder left and right, and that's the fucking joke. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I think it's fucking absurd. There were a lot of things that, yes, they were fucking racist as shit, but they weren't, they weren't being done with malice. It was a fucking joke, like making fun of things that people, you know, held close to the vest. And I think that is when you get like some of the funniest shit, is when you talk about things that people hold close to the vest, because it's relatable and everybody's been through some kind of shit like that or knows about that kind of shit. And then to have to apologize for something that people are like doing in their fucking daily lives in some cases. Like, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, you look at Gilbert Gottfried, and we talked about this before. I mean, that guy's funny as fuck. But, you know, he makes a Fukushima joke from the power plant getting overheated and, you know, causing all that damage and people dying from the tsunami and everything. And everybody's demanding that he loses his freaking job. So what does he do? He apologizes and ends up losing his job anyway. So what's the point of apologizing? What's the point in asking for an apology if no one's going to accept it? An apology is someone retracting back what they said out of whatever reason, if it's malice or if they feel, you know, indoctrinated to say it, there's a reason why they're apologizing. How are we as a society not able to accept an apology and let it go and bygones be bygones? He still lost his job. He apologized. Where's the right in that?
There isn't. And that's the thing is, like, with this whole fucking cancel culture coming up, it's just like it's frustrating because the simple solution is if you don't like it, don't fucking listen. It's like fucking, you know, fucking Pepper says all the time, you don't like it, change the fucking channel. Like, I don't care. I'm still going to say what I'm going to say, regardless of whether you like it or not, because, you know, believe it or not, there are other people out there, you know, that do like it or that do agree. Or even if they don't agree, they think it's fucking funny. And so, you know, if you're going to tune in to a comedy show to hear offensive comedy, and then you hear something that, you know, is offensive, like I guess it touches you somewhat sentimentally, or it, you know, it hits a nerve. That doesn't give you the right to all of a sudden just flip on it and be like, oh no, fuck offensive comedy, 'cause this and this and this. But, you know, all the while you were laughing at shit that, like, got under other people's skin. And so how does that make you right and them wrong, or, you know, vice versa? Like, it doesn't. And it's something that doesn't need to exist as far as I'm concerned, because it's, like, it's comedy. Comedy's comedy. You're listening to fucking jokes. You're listening to, like, people, like, talking bullshit just for the fucking sake of talking bullshit because it's funny.
Right. You know, and my last thought on that is this. You know, everybody, we're humans. We all have flaws. We all have, you know, vices. We all have our problems. The thing is this, I have found myself on the offensive side. Oh, that offends me. Oh, that shouldn't be done. But then as a normal human being, I catch myself being an asshole and saying, you know what, I should shut the fuck up and realize what this is a joke. And the problem nowadays is that the children are growing up, don't realize this. Parents are not teaching this to them. What they're saying is, oh, what you think is valuable and that you should share it because everybody wants to hear it. Well, you know what? Assholes are like opinions. Everyone's got one and yours stinks. So shut the fuck up and enjoy the show.
Yep. And it's that, and I've talked about this before, it's that participation trophy culture that people, oh, your opinion matters, or your voice counts, or your this and that matters to people. No, it absolutely does not. Like, it may matter to a few, and that's cool. But even if it doesn't, like, it doesn't mean you need to change your fucking your opinion. If you feel like strongly on something, or you know, that's the way you feel, then fuck it. That's the way you feel. Like, own that shit. Don't try to hide behind somebody's fucking morals or some, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to, you know, just change the way you really think or the way you really feel just to suit somebody else or to suit society. Like, believe me, there is a group of fucking people out there that, you know, are going to find you entertaining, are going to find you funny. They are going to fucking listen to your fucking podcast, or, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to listen to the bullshit that you have to say and take it with a grain of salt, you know, ditch the rest, you know, take the good shit, ditch the rest. And, you know, they're better off for it, because, like, why bother trying to fight or trying to argue with somebody's point of view? Like, that's their point of view. Let them fucking have it. Like, it doesn't mean you need to agree with them. And I think that's where it gets to be really frustrating, is because it seems like it's common sense, right? Like, you don't need to fucking fight every fucking single battle. Just pick your fucking battles. Like, if he says somebody says something that you don't agree with, so the fuck what? Like, how does that change your fucking morning routine every day? You know what I mean? Like, how does that affect your fucking birthday next year? How does that affect you paying your bills? Like, it absolutely doesn't. So, you know, I think it's just now it seems like maybe it's starting to trend a little bit downwards, because I'm starting to hear like some, you know, some better, you know, material, some better jokes, and people are apologizing a little bit less for it. So, you know, hopefully it keeps trending that way and it gets back to that point where, you know, we can have toy, you know, movies like The Toy, or we can have, you know, people like Don Rickles telling like, you know, super racy, you know, racist jokes like at a celebrity roast, you know, that'd be the great day. You know, everything like comedy can go back to its heyday, can go back to, you know, what made it interesting, what made everybody want to tune in.
Yeah. Tits and jokes.
Right. All right, guys. Well, we are on our time for this episode, but we are going to be back next week. We've got some guests coming up in studio. Kalik Scott is supposed to return. We're going to see the guys from Earful. The TV Nerds are also going to be back in studio. So until next week, take a toke and watch all your worries go up in smoke.